Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to... Sorry, interrupting the intro by me saying, it always feels so profesh. Like, me and Laura are like chatting, and then we start it, and it's like, kia ora, everyone. Welcome to your bona fide favourite pop culture podcast. But in reality, that's fake. In reality, that's me trying to be a girl boss.
In reality, that's her hustling. That's loose with her hustle culture.
It's me hustling. And today, Laura and I are going to be talking about... From girl boss to goblin girl.
Where are we now?
Or wherever the fuck we are now.
From girl boss to goblin girl. I love that.
Goblin girl. Because
that's the one.
We are obsessed with the fact that we all used to be like, for what? Hustling for what? To own Nasty Gal? To be the next girl boss? To be the next Beyonce? Like,
we've also had, I feel like, we've wanted to talk about this as a concept for so long, but we're always like, we should do this. So we've kind of put it all into one podcast for
yes.
you today.
Yes.
Right here, right now.
And it's going to be really good. But first of all, we need to know what describes Laura's week.
Well, from girl boss to girl bands, I went to Haim, everyone.
Oh, she did. She finally did.
That's what describes my week, slash my month, my year. I finally saw Haim.
Yay.
And it was... everything I wanted it to be. I was saying this to Luce before, but I think I've seen videos of them live, but I've not seen their chat live
yeah.
before. And oh my goodness, they're so funny. They're so cool. They're so talented. Like this is going to sound dumb, but I loved just seeing them move around the instruments constantly. And it's like 1 minute they're playing bass and they're playing drums and they're playing guitar and they're just moving around like so dynamic as performers. Absolutely loved it. No notes, chef's kiss.
I'm so glad you got to go and see them. Honestly, and we've been trying to get Laura a fucking interview with them, and it's my life's goal to have her, to have a podcast where I get to listen to her interview them or Stanley Tucci, Dolly Alderton, all these like people. So if you're listening, anyone that can help us.
The trifecta.
I swear we say this every week and no one's ever been able to help us. So
no one
cool.
can
pull your finger out, everyone.
I've got no idea who's got that in with Stanley Tucci out there, but
Harry Styles does, and we've gotten close to him. But imagine if we got
we've
to Harry Styles
close.
And we were just like, we don't want to interview you, we want to interview Stanley. Can you, like, hook us up? No.
Oh, okay, Luz, what describes your week?
Okay, well, I don't have anything that describes my week except for still being in visa purgatory hell. I've just had to move my flights, but I don't want to keep dwelling on that because it's like the only conversation I have with anyone these days. So I will tell you something funny that I did to Normie last night that I forgot that I did until this morning when he was angry at me. And I was like, now, what are the many reasons he could be angry at me right now? Because I'm so annoying. So last night when we were at quiz... because we do a quiz night together. I grabbed...
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, quiz.
Yeah, we every Wednesday, quiz night. We're called the Skinny Legends based on, like, I don't know, a meme from the internet like years ago.
What?
Skinny
Legends. This glimpse at your life.
No. And my whole life is a meme. Like, no one takes anything seriously. Anyway, so I take his phone. I used to have this thing where I would just hack anyone that would give me, that left their phone around me. Took his phone, went on Instagram. Mind you, he's like never posted, never really made Instagram stories or whatever. And I just took a photo of the table and I said, at quiz board HMU, like hit me up. And made like a real like high school Instagram story on his Instagram and then put it down. And he didn't notice until this morning when he had all these messages from like, mostly from like my brother's friends and people that know what hit me up means. And it was all these people like roasting him. And I woke up. I went out there and he was like, Lucy, like, what the fuck have you done? And it's because I'd fucking hacked him. No, it's really funny. And so that describes my week, is just like being at home and being a like devil in my childhood room.
She's a prankster. And you've been reading Angus Thongs?
Yes.
Please tell me more.
Okay, so I've reread Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging. Took me a day to read the first one. I'm on to the second one. Oh, and I bought... oh, no, I didn't. I thought I bought fucking Nora Ephron Heartburn, but I didn't. I was just thinking about it at the library, but it was on loan. So everyone,
Have you still not read it?
No, because I don't care about cooking.
Oh my goodness. Lucy. Lucy, Lucy, Lucy.
No, I only care about Laura's cooking.
No, if you care about my cooking, you're definitely going to care about Heartburn. It's not about cooking. It's such a good story. Because you're reading it and you're like, this can't be real, but it's loosely based. Loosely based.
Well,
honestly,
it was online. Let it be known that I tried to get it, okay?
I'm buying you a copy and I'm sending it to Lisbon for when you get there.
Okay.
Give me the address.
Okay, everyone, I live at... No. Okay, we have a Should We Care from Ruby, as we always do. And the first one is actually one that I saw floating around, so I was really glad that she covered it. Apparently, Laura, from Ruby, the Cyrus family is feuding. So did you see, Laura, there's this really gorgeous photo of Miley Cyrus and her mum, Tish, at her mum's wedding? I don't know if you would have seen
it. No, I haven't seen
it. First of all, they look like spitting images of each other, like stunning women. Also, obsessed with Miley and going back through her old eras and, you know, obsessed with the fact that...
Obsessed with everything about it.
Everyone was so fucking mean to her when she came out of Disney in a crazy way. We would never do that now, but anyway. Mm. So Miley was her mum's maid of honour and like walked her down the aisle, and she was joined by her older half-siblings, Brandy and Trace. But Cyrus family fans, or Miley Cyrus fans, were quick to notice that the two younger siblings, Noah and Brayson, were not in attendance. So Ruby was like, everyone smells a rat. Let's look into it. She gave us a bit of background. So Tish used to be married to Billy Ray Cyrus. We know this. That's Miley's dad. They had three kids, Miley, Brayson, and Noah. But Billy Ray also adopted Tish's kids from a previous marriage, who were Trace and Brandy. Anyway, Billy Ray and Tish had sort of separated a few times before. 2010, filed for divorce, and then in 2013, filed for divorce again, but then both times they reconciled. And then in 2022, they finally divorced and separated. And then Billy Ray, a few months after, announced his engagement to an Australian singer called Fire Rose, she's 30 years younger than Billy Ray, and she's only a couple of years older than Miley. And then since that announcement, people have been saying that Miley sort of is no longer talking to Billy Ray, though she had gorgeous things to say about him in sort of the documentary that she's been releasing to go along with her single, Used to Be Young. So I feel like there's a bit of speculation about the bad blood, because she seems to still really love and respect him, publicly anyway. But then, so Miley stopped talking to Billy Ray, but Noah Cyrus, her little sister, unfollowed Tish, starting rumours that the kids have sort of picked sides. And so Noah and Brayson, the two kids that are on Billy's side, weren't at the wedding, and they like documented their day on Instagram of the wedding, but they like weren't on Instagram. Noah was wearing a shirt with Billy Ray Cyrus on it on the day of Tish's wedding that she didn't go to. Actually, also Ruby put in here, which is interesting, and very 2013, but when Tish first filed for divorce from Billy Ray, Miley tweeted, at Billy Ray Cyrus, since you won't reply to my texts, I'm giving you an hour to tell the truth or I'll tell it for you, and then attached a photo of herself and an unknown woman. But then she deleted that tweet and then claimed she was hacked. But that's all very 2013 vibes.
This is a real timeline.
Basically, do you care?
I care. I feel like the Cyruses and the Kardashians are in the same world for me.
Yeah. And I only wish there was a reality TV show
I would watch that.
Kind of on that, this is something that's interesting. I don't know if it's true. You know Alex Earle? Well, I brought her up one week. She's the It Girl. The It Girl, Alex Earle. Well, Alex Earle has like a bunch of younger siblings, and most of them are girls, but there's one little boy. And her mum has started making TikToks and hashtagging it Earl Girls, and everyone's like, I wonder if because of the writer's strikes and stuff, and reality TV's the thing that thrives during the writers and actors strikes, whether the Earl Girls are about to have their own version of the Kardashian, like a new reality TV show, but like from the TikTok era. I mean, the D'Amelios had one. Anyway, that's just
that would be interesting, just from this era.
Just from this era, it'd be interesting to see.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Second, should we care? And I've written a little bit about this, but just thought we should follow it up because we talked about it in here. Doja Cat broke records on Spotify for the single that she released called Paint the Town Red. And this wouldn't usually be something that we covered, except for the fact that she basically disowned a whole lot of her fans right before releasing the single, yet she still came out on top, which I thought was really interesting because she lost like almost a million, or maybe at this point over a million fans after telling them that like they need to get off their phones, get jobs, help their parents, stop calling themselves kittens. Like, she basically spoke back to them, which, after seeing some of the behavior of fans lately, especially around Taylor Swift, I'm like, actually, artists should be speaking up against the fans that are behaving badly because it's dangerous and unhinged.
Well, as we've said, there seems to be a new story every single week at the minute.
Literally. So this one felt interesting because it's like, even though she said that, the thing that actually matters to Doja Cat is her music. And like, obviously, her fans help get her music listens or whatever. But even when she's spoken out against her fans, her song has, like, put her at number one. Like, she's the first female solo artist to reach the number one spot on the top 50 US chart with Paint the Town Red. So I'm like, are people just, like, online saying, like, fuck you, Doja Cat, like, blah, 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 but then going and streaming the song anyway? Was this all publicity? Does it not actually matter so much, like, your follower count, like, if you're still going to get listens? I don't know, I care about that because I'm like, it shows that it's not the worst thing in the world to, I mean, her fans weren't behaving badly, but some fans do, and maybe it's not the worst thing to speak out against them.
No, we definitely care about that. And I feel like only more are we going to be talking about this fan behavior.
Because it's unhinged.
Whole phenomenon. There's just so much happening at the minute. What did I send you the other day? There's bits every single day, I feel like, at the minute. We'll find it later. Yeah.
Oh, she'll say she'll put it in the show notes, but she won't put it in the show notes.
I'll put it in the to whoever called me out about not posting notes, I'm sorry.
And to everyone in my DMs, and then I say, go and message Laura directly, because I know as much about what's in her show note brain as you.
Listen, we all have mental blocks, but I have two mental blocks in my life. One, linking the show notes. Two, posting things. You cannot get me to a mailbox, I'll tell you.
Three, just personal experience for Laura, invoicing. They are her mental blocks.
Anything admin related. So right, okay, we've got one more, should we care? We've got one more.
And Laura actually asked for this one a few weeks ago before I even knew that it was a thing. It wasn't even on my radar. Firefest 2.0, Laura, you brought this to the table.
She's back, baby.
Firefest is back. This is crazy because we all know about Firefest. It was a huge shit show. There was a documentary about it. Billy McFarland, who organized it, he went to goddamn jail for this, right? And essentially, he's out of jail. And now he's wanting to do 2.0, like a reboot of it. He said that he reportedly spent his time in jail coming up with a 50-page outline of his reboot for Firefest. I mean, it's giving productivity in lockdown. Like, you know, and it was like, you don't have to be productive when you're in lockdown. He was literally in lockdown being productive. So he's been selling tickets for his new Firefest 2.0. The first batch of tickets, which cost $499, sold out. But, like, my money is on the fact, and I actually wrote about this, like, I would bet on the fact that most people that are buying them are, like, reporters, influencers, content creators, anyone that wants to do it for the, like, experience of Firefest 2.0 to see if it's a shitstorm again. Like,
Has he released the location? Like, is that no one knows anything about what it is?
It's meant to be in the Bahamas again. Okay, I can't lie. I don't know that much of the details about it because I, like, okay, this one, I don't actually care that much. Funny, because I wrote about it, but it's not, like, I didn't care that much for the documentary. I didn't become obsessed with it. Like, I don't. But I do think that most people will have been buying tickets for content and not for...
That's what I care. I want to know why, like, everything about this, what it says about us as people, yes. That we'll just keep making the same mistakes.
Like, that he'll keep making the same mistake and we will keep making the same mistake. Yes. That is so true.
I'm very, very interested in this.
That's the psychologist girly.
That's the psych girly. Yeah. And you know what? We're moving on, everyone, to more psych.
Okay, Laura, talk to us about girl boss, millennial, messy woman, hustle culture, everything.
I think we're going to roll with from girl boss to goblin girl because I love that.
Okay.
But Lucy, when I say the words to you, millennial pink, what do you think of?
I think Glossier, I think The Wing, I think Nasty Girl, I think that whole era of hot white woman being the face of, like, hustle culture. And
this is the answer I wanted. That was near perfect.
Well, obviously, I've been thinking a lot about girl bossing.
Okay, so for anyone, I mean, well, this has come up a few times for me and Luce where the girl boss era, if we're going to call it that, came and went so fast. And since then, like, I would say, from the research that I've been doing, I can see that we think that the girl boss hashtag started trending around 2014, which is less than 10 years ago, right? So in less than 10 years, we've kind of had all these different iterations of, like, girl boss, hustle culture, optimization, like, goblin girl, all these things that we've been told that we, like, should be, have to be, strive to be. And I just think that in itself in such a short time frame is so interesting to me.
Yes.
And I thought we'll just move through them. So girl boss, for those who don't know, it's loosely tied to Sophia Amoruso, who was the founder of Nasty Gal.
Yeah.
Which, Luce, do you know what Nasty Gal started out as?
Yes, like a secondhand eBay selling thing.
eBay site.
I've watched the one season Netflix Girl Boss show.
Did you? I didn't watch it.
I liked it, and everyone's saying it's trash. And, like, probably if I watched it now, it would be trash. But, like, I was out there trying to be a hustler. I needed to learn.
She's a hustle culture.
She's a hustle girl. She's a girl boss.
So back in 2014, this girl boss hashtag started trending. Sophia had a book which she called hashtag girl boss and got over 40 million in funding for Nasty Gal. Customers in over 60 countries, a bricks and mortar store. The book spent 18 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. A whole bunch of stuff came from this. Since 2014, videos with that hashtag have been viewed more than 6 billion times on TikTok, with an additional 26 million posts on Instagram. Hashtag girlboss has been used more than 4.5 million times on Twitter in the past 8 years, which is crazy.
Except for now, it's a joke.
Exactly.
I reckon a lot of those, I almost reckon all the TikTok ones will be a joke, because TikTok was around only in the era where we'd already decided girl bossing was cringe.
This is exactly it. So basically, when TikTok started taking off and skyrocketing, this gaslight gatekeep girl boss, all this started spreading and going absolutely crazy, to the point where in 2022, Sophia Amoruso, the girl boss, the original girl boss, tweeted, "Please stop using the word girl boss, thank you," signaling the end of an era.
Yeah, even she got cringed out by, but imagine that would suck having you, because I'm not going to lie, at the time, that is, like, a great name for a book and a TV series and stuff, and, like, it really caught on and captured a whole lot of women that, like, needed at the time something to work towards. And then to be that embarrassed by the thing that you've built a monster.
Totally. But I mean, I just remember it was probably 2016. Just everything was pink. Everything was millennial pink.
Yes.
Everything was about like having avocado on toast and like writing your goals down and
affirmations and hustle harder and
yeah.
I want my bank account to look like a phone number and like, you know.
Exactly. And there's just something about like, I don't know, being like bang on like 19, 20 when all that's happening and you're like, you're the target audience for it, right? You're mm-hmm. the thing that it's all been fed to. And it was so pervasive and it was absolutely everywhere. And then it just went away so quickly. So everyone started to see that actually this heyday of kind of female founders and girl bosses actually made situations far more difficult because it clouded like all the realities. And it was like, it's a brilliant quote. Again, I will link it in the show notes and I actually will because I've got them all sitting here. People have come to understand that highlighting the gender of women in positions of power to the extent that it becomes their entire brand only allows for them to be infantilized. This enforces the idea they're a girl boss and not a regular boss. They should not be held to the same standards, which inevitably allows their problematic actions to be brushed over for too long, which is also what you were saying, Luce, at the start.
Yeah, and I think that this, it definitely wasn't the start of it for everyone, but like for our generation, it was the start of women being like, told to make things their personal brand and then having to go out and spend a whole lot of money. So putting us behind like the men or the other people because we're spending all this money. So we're out of money to make us look and feel and seem like a girl boss. And it's like what Laura said back in our imposter syndrome episode is like, is imposter syndrome a thing? Or was it a thing that was sold to us so that we would have to take time out of our day to go to courses about it, spend yes. money going to retreats about it, spend money going to buy books about it, and therefore putting us behind again in money and time and making us feel like imposters, even though it might just be this imagined thing that has been sold to women to once again put us behind. And I feel like that really unlocked something in me when we had that conversation. And I'm seeing it in everything we talk about now, basically. I'm like, girl boss, another thing that was just sold to women to put us behind, but by other women a lot of the time.
We keep coming up with this, like, they are selling it to us, and we're like, yes. leaving that, and we're like, but who are they?
No. Laura, I went on a podcast the other day for The Detail in New Zealand, and they were talking about Taylor Swift and stuff, and I was like, yep, they just want us to buy this, they just want to buy this, and I said to them, I don't know who I'm talking about when I'm saying they, P.S. Like, I'm not an economist. I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm just a girl boss.
You're like, but I'm sure they're out there. I'm just a girl trying to, I'm a little girly trying to hustle. But I,
the
girl boss, I, for you, did you find it like, before it got too much and before it was absolutely everywhere, did you find it inspiring in any capacity? Or were you like,
yes.
I hate this from the start? Interesting.
Anyone that says that they could smell a rat from the start is, I think, lying. Because at the start, it was inspirational. And when you were 16 or whatever, and like Lisa Simpson was like my idol growing up. I loved cartoons. I loved Lisa Simpson. Aww. And I feel like it was like an extension of her, like, and to be fair, I was on Tumblr when I was experiencing the girl boss era. And a lot of it was actually Lisa Simpson pointing, like going, the whole damn system is wrong. Like, it's all very in like intertwined for me. And I don't think people would have been able to see it, that it was like nefarious at the start, because at the start it was just like trying, like inspiration, and like we didn't have anything like it, so we needed it. But did you feel like it was fishy at the start? Maybe I've just shat on you.
No, I don't think, not at all. I was all about the millennial pink. I was like,
yes,
at the time, you know, I was trying to like run a blog site with my best friend, and yes. it was like everything spoke to that. But I also found it quite daunting, I think. Like, I found it somewhat inspiring, but I also was just like, this seems like a lot. And like,
and other dudes having to do this, do they have to be boy bosses or what?
Like, I think, and in kind of what you said before, everything being intertwined, like it's not just that you have a business, it's like you're also the face of that business. But that lends itself really well, I think, to this next phase or era or whatever we're going to call these. There are different words for this. The one that's really stuck with me was coined by a writer, Gia Tolentino, and it's the age of optimization. She has probably one of the best short essays I've ever read I think it's in her book Trick Mirror, but she also, it's just like a standalone article, so I can link it. But she talks about how becoming essentially suckers for the hard labor of self-optimization. And she starts off by saying the ideal woman, in other words, is always optimizing. She takes advantage of technology, both in the way she broadcasts her image and in the meticulous improvement of the image itself. Her hair looks expensive. She spends money on her skin, a process that has taken on the holy aspect of a spiritual ritual and the mundane regularity of setting a morning alarm. The work formerly carried out by makeup has been directly embedded into her face. Everything about this woman has been preemptively controlled to the point that she can afford the impression of spontaneity.
And do you know what? When I hear that, I just can't help but think, and how sad is it that none of us is our fault? That, like, we have been told that we need to work harder, told that we need to look better, and not physically told. I'm like, it's been the forces of growing up in a society. But I'm like, there is no bone in my body that blames women for feeling like we have to do this. And I actually read a really interesting take. I can't remember where I read it, everyone, but I'm going to pass it on. And it was, it might have been on Medium, and it was a black woman writing about Girl Boss and how, like, she was like, it's not, I'm not being a girl boss by, like, getting up at 5 and having to do my side hustle and blah, 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 blah. She's like, this is just how we have to live, and me and my friends as black women in the world have to live to get ahead and to get the jobs. And they were like, it's not romantic. It's not girl bossing. It's not self-optimization. It's like, it's our life. And now it's being branded as this thing that is, like, so everyone wants and everyone wants to do. And they were like, we've been doing this.
I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll try and find it. It's on Medium.
Well, that's exactly what I think this whole thing is about, and kind of what Gia's touching on as well. It's like just this idea of doing absolutely everything, but it's everything is like to optimize yourself, and everything is to streamline things and make it look like a lifestyle, and kind of what you just said, romanticize it into this thing where, like, you're having expensive juices, you do your exercise class, you have your routines, and you are, like, everything is kind of maintained while also at every single opportunity or on every single corner squeezing the most out of everything just in case. Like,
yes. And it's, again, we keep harping back, it's just putting us behind. All the stuff that we think is putting us ahead is financially and, like, time-wise, literally putting us, we're wasting our time and money on doing these things that men don't have to do, like, to feel like we're enough. It's like the Barbie movie.
It's like the Barbie movie. There's, again, to bring it back to our friend capitalism, that the big they, there is something that has always stuck with me is this section from the article where she talks about getting a chopped salad. And, like, that's obviously quite, not obviously, not everyone here is from New Zealand, but we don't have, like, a chopped salad. Oh, do we?
No. I'm
tank?
Like, I swear I didn't know what a chopped salad was until I saw it on, like, an American menu.
Exactly. She talks about being a chopped salad customer and going to get your salad on your little lunch break, and you need to get your $12 salad that you can only eat in 10 minutes because that's all the time that you've got during your job, but you need, like, your nice little salad to help you function and keep you healthy so that you can go back and keep doing your job and send your emails for 16 hours to have the money to buy the salad to eat in 10 minutes.
Yes.
That.
Oh, that is, like, the Bible to being a woman in the workplace. That is.
That always stuck with me. And it kind of, again, then lends itself to another phase that I think is one that I saw heaps last year, particularly, and got very taken in by, I will say, which is this kind of sectional corner of the internet, which is predominantly, I think, targeted at people under 30, but might, you know, skew outside of that, about romanticizing your life, but also making all your little decisions count. And there's words for it. I was talking to my colleague today and she was like, oh, Fiat 500 girls, which I hadn't heard before. Or
I haven't heard that.
Beige fluencers, or basically clips that show you not how to live a life that's, like, really exciting or, like, full of surprises and newness and glamour, but actually quite like a, like, mundane routine-based existence where your best life kind of looks like you put on your matching pajama set, you cook your dinner at home, you get up at 5 a.m., you go to a workout, you have a green juice, you light a little candle, you do your stretch. And, like, I think half the internet sees that as romanticizing your life, and actually it's like quite amazing. And half the internet sees that as you are just trying to make yourself, optimize yourself for the mm-hmm. workplace, make mm-hmm. yourself as like, you know, regimented as possible so you can perform in your 9-to-5 job really well and then do very little outside of that.
Yeah,
to and it's, expend energy.
It's kind of like, I mean, we saw like clean girl aesthetics, that girl, like yes. all of that stuff. And again, what I keep thinking back to is these, all of these trends, and at the end of this, I'm going to go through like all of them that I could find. You sort of have to be hot to do them. Like, you can't be, like, well, you don't have to be hot, but everyone you see online that's doing these, that's like, documenting their life, their clean girl, their slicked back buns that they've used products to like make them look that way and blah, blah, blah. It's like you're documenting it, but it's all a type of woman that like already has the privilege to do that. They, I feel like they look a certain way and they act a certain way, and it's not even their fault, but it's like, again, it's afforded to certain people, I think, to do these types of things. Back to the girl boss, when I'm thinking of the CEOs that I'm picturing in my head, it's like they're all hot, like, but why? Like, you wouldn't, it's just, it's a crazy phenomenon to me. That I'm like, why is no one normal? It's because we have to optimize ourselves and get all this cosmetic shit done.
100%. Anyway. And I think, but me and my friend were talking about this, and about, because I got really, these like little videos, I was like, do I need to go, like, I am messy. I have a messy life. And I, do I need to go buy a candle? Do I need to like, something about it really appealed to me, whereas to her, she was like, this literally looks like the most boring, dullest, yes. mundane existence I've ever seen. And I think for a lot of people, it actually, you become quite enamored with it because we have had such a loss of control. The part, I mean, this is getting so boring to talk about, I'm sure, but such loss of control the past few years, there's actually something quite comforting about knowing that if you do these things and these steps every single day, you have an element of control over your life when things feel a little bit in turmoil.
Yeah, and then if you are on the other side of that, is like the rat girl, feral girl, like showing your really messy bedside table. It's like, okay, it's crazy. It's like, why do we all have to put ourselves into like a camp, right? But it's also like, okay, representation for like both types of clean girl or feral girl. Like, I'm sorry. It's just so crazy. And I love to see it, and I love talking about it and watching it and thinking about it. Like, I'm not here hating on all these trends, because you better believe I'm a hypocrite, if anything. And I'm like,
if anything else.
If anything else. There's
one, I'll leave it with this bit, with this quote, which I quite liked. And I think also, yeah, it was interesting. All of this feeds into a pre-existing fear and caution around trying anything new. Leading a boring, low-risk life is easier than going out in the world and trying to lead an exciting one, and it only becomes more appealing when that safe life is treated as morally superior.
Yes, I do want to finish off this.
Yeah, Luz, take us to where we are now. That's what I want to know.
Here's where we are now. A goblin girl is a rat girl, is a feral girl. A cool girl is an it girl, is a beige girl, is a clean girl. A soft girl is a visco girl, is a Pinterest girl. A Tumblr girl is a grunge girl, is an e-girl. A baby girl is a 20-year-old teenage girl. I haven't changed my sheets in 2 weeks and I want to sleep for 50 years. All those different types of girls are like things that have basically been across my TikTok feed, minus maybe visco girl, which I had to throw in there because it was like, very over time.
Visco girl sent me.
It's like, I'm sorry, why? It's just crazy. It's crazy the way that we're all constantly, and really quickly, Taylor Swift talks about reinvention and the fact that women have to reinvent themselves time and time again. She talks about it in Miss Americana. I think this is like the reinvention of it all, but on crack. Like, we are reinventing ourselves every day. For some reason, it makes us feel really good. It's like, it makes you feel really good to do it. But
that is an interesting point.
I know. It's like the reinvention of it all. That's what we're doing. And then also, I have said final point like 4 times. There is like the classic thing where the higher you go, the harder you fall, or like the further you fall. So like these women that are trying to like be a good boss, be really optimized, be really beautiful, be really healthy, be blah, 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 blah. Like, because they're trying to do all these things, of course they're not going to be able to do it all perfectly all the time, but like they have set put themselves on this pedestal. We've put them on this pedestal. So as soon as they do a step wrong, they have so far to fall. Whereas, and I'm sorry to generalize, but a lot of men that are bosses and don't aspire to be all these things, they don't have that far to fall because they're not even trying to like be them. Yeah. I'm just like, there's a lot here. And I love talking about this shit.
That list that you read out, I think I'm going to have to put that somewhere because I need to print that out.
I will I'll put it on Instagram as part of the promo for this week's Culture Vulture. I'll put it on a little grid. I'll optimize it for a grid.
You optimize that. If you had to predict what the girl of January 2024 is going to be.
Oh, I think we're going to continue the It Girl era. I just reckon it's going to be a continuation. What about you? I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I think I'm quite into the Goblin Girl at the minute.
Yeah. It'll be something like really obscure, like Little China Teacup Girl or like something really, you know, like.
I was just thinking of me trying to explain, like Stanley Tucci like asked me today what the podcast was on and I was like, oh, I'll explain it later to you. If I read that list out to him, it would mean nothing. No. Not a thing.
Is that not a blissed existence? Is that not a...
I've said it before, I'll say it 1,000 times. The world that man lives in is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, I know.
Surfing videos.
Yeah, we would all get to live in it. But Laura, what is on your radar this week?
On my radar this week, it's been a lot of Heim, to be honest. I've been in Heim world and I've been in work world. But I will say that I love Heim. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
I love it. No, I love it. I didn't bring anything this week to on my radar, but I can just see I got some books out at the library, so I'm just going to tell you what they are. Oh, first of all, it is...
She's lifting up a stack, everyone.
It's okay. I'm wearing really big knickers, which is Angus Thongs.
That cover just took me back to a place I'm not prepared to go.
These are my favorite covers in the world. And then, okay, a group of short stories called Devil's Trumpet by New Zealand author Tracy Slaughter. Well, that is a really cool name if that's her real name. The Bell Jar, Sylvia Plath. I really just wanted to reread that because she's in such a Goblin Girl era. No. And then Luster by Raven Leilani. It's funny because I'm showing Laura like as if I'm doing a vlog.
It is so funny.
I'm not. And you can probably hear me fucking faffing around because I forgot that I'm recording this into a mic. But anyway, they are the books that are on my radar, team. And they're very... there's actually an era of books right now called Sad Girl Lit. And I think these might be in the era of Sad Girl Lit. So
they definitely seem like they'll be in that. Have you read the My Brilliant Friend series?
Oh yeah, I did not like it. I read the first one and I didn't like it, but maybe I just didn't get it.
No, you gotta persist.
Oh
yeah, you have to persist. There's like 7 of them.
I'm not doing that. I've got Angus Thongs to get through.
You're like me with Shopaholic.
Yes.
I could read my psych book or I could.
Yes.
Shopaholic goes abroad.
Because you know what, we're nothing if not 20-year-old teenage girls. Baby girls. Anyway, team.
It's been beautiful. It's
been a gorge ep. Gorge ep. Laura's sirens have really got us through it. And we will see you all in the Geneva chat, or we'll see you on Shit You Should Cook About, or we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.